Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, brought to you today by Sanebox. Get a great deal with Sanebox through sanebox.com/martini. They'll throw in $25 of credit on top of their two-week free trial, sanebox.com/martini. More on that a little bit later in the podcast. Jim, as we have done through all the debates, there's not necessarily a good, bad, and crazy martini. We're just going to talk about each of the people on the stage, starting with Trump, then Hillary, then the moderator, Chris Wallace. But I think as we get started here, the definite good part is we don't have to watch this again.
Yeah. You think about it, finally debate season is over. Until, I'm guessing the Virginia gubernatorial primary debates are, 4 months from now, Greg? Five?
If we're lucky. Man. Let's dive right in. Let's start with Donald Trump. He started off kind of quiet, and I thought kind of not very sure-footed. When asked about the Supreme Court, he went on and on about being insulted by Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which is maybe interesting to him, not that interesting to anybody else. He kind of stumbled his way through the gun issue. Then once the issue got to abortion, he got a little bit better and put Hillary Clinton on the defensive.
If you go with what Hillary is saying, in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me.
And then that got the whole discussion on to partial birth abortion, which most of the American people want nothing to do with. And Hillary was forced to defend that. We'll talk about that a little bit more when it comes to her. One of his other stronger moments, Jim, was when it came to the Clinton Foundation. Hillary tried to talk about that as little as possible. And Trump threw this challenge at her.
These are people that push gays off business, off buildings. These are people that kill women and treat women horribly. And yet you take their money. So I'd like to ask you right now, why don't you give back the money that you've taken from certain countries that treat certain groups of people so horribly? Why don't you give back the money? I think it would be a great gesture.
He also got her fairly good on the issue of open borders, although it got a little interesting when he basically said, you know, gave credit to President Obama for rounding up a lot of people and sending them back. So that was kind of confusing. But Jim, the only thing anybody's talking about today is this exchange with Chris Wallace and Donald Trump.
Do you make the same commitment that you will absolutely, sir, that you will absolutely accept the result of this election?
I will look at it at the time. I'm not looking at anything now. I'll look at it at the time.
Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
Well,
okay?
Chris, let me respond to that because that's horrifying.
So, Jim, a lot of people thought that Trump was best versed on the issues in this debate, that point by point he might have been strongest. But that moment, as we just said, is the one that everybody's been talking about ever since.
The first half hour of this debate was probably Trump's strongest first half hour we've seen in any of the debates. I think it's also intriguing and perhaps not coincidental that it was probably the most policy focused of it. I think probably you could argue the most social policy focus. It was about judges. It was about the Second Amendment. It was about abortion. And, might not have expected Trump to be the most effective one on stage there, but I think he held his own in all three of those. And the only way Hillary Clinton could wiggle out of it was to basically lie through her teeth and to argue that, you know, the District of Columbia just wanted to keep guns out of the hands of toddlers, Greg. That's what the Heller decision was all about, is, you know, can you arm toddlers? She basically insisted that she only supported partial birth abortion for health reasons, when in fact it is not done for health reasons. Anybody with familiarity with the policy of these issues knew that Hillary Clinton was, one, changing her position from what she had said in the past, and two, very much mischaracterizing what was at issue in these laws. And then it unraveled. It was right around minute number 31, 32, that all of a sudden he started interrupting again. Wrong, you're the puppet, you know. All the stuff from Trump that I don't think works well for him. I don't think it's, people take a great deal of appreciation or enjoyment from that. I think he comes across as rude. I think he comes across as snide, disrespectful. I just don't think his style works well for a lot of people, including all those suburban soccer moms that you're trying to win over. Then, of course, the comment about saying he's not sure he's going to respect the election results. Look, do Republicans have legitimate gripes about voter fraud? Yes. Is the 2016 presidential election going to be stolen? No. To do so, you're going to have to do it on a massive scale nobody's ever seen before. James O'Keefe is doing a terrific job of showcasing individuals saying they'd like to do it. But to do it, you would need the complicity of hundreds of election officials in multiple states, several of which are Republican governors and Republican secretaries of state. This obviously is dominating the coverage of this since last night, this morning, and potentially the rest of the week. And I think Trump is going to come across, looks like a guy who's already setting up excuses, who looks like a sore loser, who looks like he's willing to claim vast conspiracies rigging elections than to concede defeat when he himself has done a bad job. So all in all, that was not what Trump needed to do last night. So even though in some ways it was his most improved performance, he didn't do what he needed to do, and we're on this pretty much the same trajectory as we were the night before the debate.
Quick addendum to the last point about Trump saying he'll look at the results and then decide whether he accepts them or not. And what I'm about to say is not in any way in defense of Donald Trump. It's to shred the sanctimony of Hillary Clinton. This is from CBS News, November 10th, 2000. Senator-elect Hillary Rodham Clinton began a victory tour of upstate New York Friday by calling for the elimination of the Electoral College. At an airport news conference, the First Lady said she would support legislation seeking a constitutional amendment providing for the direct election of the president. At the moment, Americans are waiting to see who wins Florida's 25 electoral votes and thus becomes the next president. Vice President Al Gore leads Republican George W. Bush in the popular vote nationwide. Quote, "We are a very different country than we were 200 years ago," Clinton said. "I believe that in a democracy, we should respect the will of the people, and to me that means it's time to do away with the Electoral College and move to the popular election of our president." 9 years later, you'd think by then she might have gotten over it, but no, she's Secretary of State, she's in Nigeria in a Q&A and says, quote, "Now our democracy is still evolving. We've had all kinds of problems in some of our past elections. As you might remember, in 2000, our presidential election came down to one state where the brother of the man running for president was the governor of the state. So, I mean, we have our problems too, but we have been trying to remedy those problems as we see them." So, Hillary, as your former boss, Barack Obama, likes to say, get off the high horse.
Yeah, man, oh man. I had not heard of those quotes, Greg. I had heard about the 2002 one in which he described President Bush as selected, not elected. Now, this is not a defense of what Trump is saying.
Right.
I pointed out earlier in this, and I pointed out for the last couple of days, and pretty much going back a long time, the existence of any amount of voter fraud does not necessarily mean an election was stolen. You have a much stronger argument in a situation like the Minnesota Senate vote in 2008 in the very close Washington State governor's race back there a couple of years ago, and obviously something like a situation like Florida in 2000, where it comes down to a couple hundred votes. Most states aren't that close. They're in the neighborhood of the thousands or the tens of thousands. But to hear the sanctimony from Democrats of, oh, Gore conceded and, oh, we've never seen anything like this. Whoa. All right, when you're saying that Bush is selected, not elected, you're calling into question whether he's really the president of the United States or whether some sort of great, national injustice has been done. And it's really kind of insufferable to see Hillary Clinton and her allies making this argument. Now, are they exactly the same? No, but I think it's, I don't think you can say, as I think it was Brett Stevens of the Wall Street Journal said, that Trump's answer on that debate stage last night was the greatest threat to democracy or the worst, from any candidate in the last 160 years. By the way, Craig, doesn't that include the Civil War? I'm somewhere along the line, we've seen something worse. Well, you can say Donald Trump's perspective is terrible. And it really does undermine faith in the system. People start doubting that their vote's going to be counted. They think the whole thing's rigged, and they think the whole American system of government is corrupt. You can make that argument, but you can't turn around and then say Hillary saying selected, not elected in 2002 is totally harmless, right? It's one or the other. You cannot either they're both varying degrees of bad, or one is harmless and the other one's not that bad. Ultimately, I'm not so sure that Trump's argument is going to persuade anybody other than his own diehard group of supporters who are totally convinced he's going to win. All the polls are wrong. All the polls, all the debate polls are wrong. And if he loses, it has to be voter. That's not a majority view in the electorate. And actually, there's interesting, at least anecdotal evidence that some people were on the fence, just kind of looked at him last night and said, this guy's out to lunch and are turning towards other candidates. So we'll see how this shakes out. But I don't think this is, I don't know if we're going to see this as an enormously harmful moment. I think we may see it as a, as instead of being a harmful moment for American democracy, just another moment of self-marginalization by Donald Trump.
All right, let's move on to Hillary. And a couple of these clips you referenced in the analysis of Trump's comments. So let's listen to those real quickly. First, Hillary, when it comes to partial birth abortion.
I do not think the United States government should be stepping in and making those most personal of decisions.
And Jim, if a competent Republican had been at the other podium, they could have pointed out that Hillary wants to return to taxpayer-funded abortions. So you don't want us to have a say in whether the child lives or dies, but you just want us to pay for it. But then, as you mentioned, there was also the gun control issue, as brought up by Chris Wallace and the Heller case from 2008. And here's what Hillary said it was about.
You mentioned the Heller decision, and what I was saying that you referenced, Chris, was that I disagreed with the way the court applied the Second Amendment in that case, because what the District of Columbia was trying to do was to protect toddlers from guns. And so they wanted people with guns to safely store them.
No. Heller was about whether an individual in the District of Columbia had the right to own a firearm, and that's it. Nothing else.
Well, I used to live in the District of Columbia, and I remember striking and saying, you know, that looking up the gun laws and realizing I was not, I've seen some people saying, well, it banned handguns. Yes, and it also banned long guns and short guns and every other kind of gun in between. And not only that, did it ban, other than law enforcement, it also, by the way, did ban, I believe, every kind of blade longer than 3 inches if there was intent, not necessarily whether you actually used it. So basically, if you were walking down the street and you had a knife, the cops could arrest you whether or not you actually used it, threatened anybody with a stab. So basically, you couldn't walk around with a knife either. Basically, it was illegal to walk down the street in the District of Columbia with any form of self-defense. What, mace was, I believe, was banned, brass knuckles, switchblades, you name it, you were not allowed to use it. Now, you might think, oh, gee, with laws like this, District of Columbia must have had the lowest crime rates in the world. No, this was during Marion Barry years when it was the murder capital of the United States, and it still has a very high crime rate. So all of these gun laws did nothing to prevent gun crimes, did nothing to prevent shootings. All it did was, you know, law-abiding citizens like myself were not allowed to own them. He went back, and I guess I can now confess it as a resident of Virginia, Greg. I owned illegally a medieval sword for home protection. If a dragon came through the door, I was completely ready to take care of it. But even that was, you know, technically illegal if the D.C. police believed that I had intent to do something bad with that. By the way, yes, I will go Conan on you if you try to break into my house. say, you know, the idea, the only way Hillary could defend herself was by just lying and hoping that nobody would really pay attention to what she'd said, and then most of her supporters would not realize that, no, you know, at her heart, she believes that you should not have a right to own a firearm, despite all her insistence that she supports the Second Amendment. If you believe Heller was wrongly decided, then you do not support any meaningful gun ownership in any meaningful sense.
Correct. Correct. Let's look at a couple others here, or at least listen to them. Here's Chris Wallace asking Hillary about her open trade and open borders comment as revealed in WikiLeaks.
Is that your dream, open borders?
Well, if you went on to read the rest of the sentence, I was talking about energy. You know, we trade more energy with our neighbors than we trade with the rest of the world combined. And I do want us to have an electric grid, an energy system that crosses borders. I think that will be a great benefit to us. But you are very clearly quoting from WikiLeaks. And what's really important about WikiLeaks is that the Russian government has engaged in espionage against Americans.
Before she went to that pivot, which Trump correctly called out, she basically validated everything that WikiLeaks has released. So this canard that the Democrats have been having about whether or not they've been doctored kind of took a hit from their own candidate there. Jim, it's good to know that open borders only refers to power lines.
Yeah. I have this crazy theory that if somebody believes in, I believe in open borders for our electrical grid. By the way, Greg, after everything we saw at the Rio Olympics, don't you just love the idea of your electrical supply being dependent on how things are going in Brazil? Right? Nothing could go wrong there. It's not hooked up to a pool. Or the security guys don't decide to rob somebody. Basically, if she wanted to say, I don't open borders for electricity, I think she would have said it. I think when you're speaking to a group of international bankers down in Brazil, that you say you want open borders. I look, you know, it's Hillary Clinton. We can doubt whether she actually means anything she says to any audience. But I have a feeling that was designed to create the impression amongst people who really like the idea of open borders. The idea that if you can go and work in any country you want, you can just cross the border, show up and say, I want to work, and you know, go get to work whenever you want, as soon as you find somebody who's going to hire you. Deep down, I think you hook up Hillary Clinton to fill her up with sodium pentothal, hook her up to a lie detector machine. I think something close to that is what she wants. I think she's perfectly fine with the idea of the United States or even the entire Western Hemisphere becoming more like the European Union, where if you want to work here, just come on over and come work in here. Because after all, she doesn't have to worry about losing her job to foreign competition. But anyway, so she gets nailed on that, and I was kind of struck with it. I don't know how this played. I don't know how much people noticed it, but I definitely detected, Greg, a bit of a tisk-tisk, Chris Wallace. You shouldn't even be asking about this. You're trafficking in hacked information by Russian intelligence. How dare you, Chris Wallace? Have you no decency? That's definitely the vibe I got from that, and that strikes me as sheer arrogance. Since as far as we know, everything has come out in WikiLeaks. Look, if WikiLeaks hacked this illegally, and I think they did, then, you know, then they're committing a crime. We're not committing a crime by reading it. We're not committing a crime by citing it. We're not committing a crime by asking them about it. And as far as we know so far, everything that's in there has turned out to be legitimate. So, look, Hillary, them's the breaks. You know, you get something embarrassing in those emails, people are going to ask you about it. And I have very little doubt that if the same thing had happened to the RNC emails, we wouldn't be seeing the same kind of questions from Democrats and her allies, and perhaps even from Hillary herself.
Last clip here, Jim. A lot of people making a lot out of this. I want to get your take on it. Here's Hillary Clinton talking about nukes.
When the president gives the order, it must be followed. There's about 4 minutes between the order being given and the people responsible for launching nuclear weapons to do so.
Jim, some people are saying that was already knowable. Others saying Hillary Clinton's basically giving out important national security secrets to the entire world. What did you make of that?
We already knew there was not an enormous amount of time between a presidential order and the actual launch of the nukes. I don't know if anybody had ever mentioned it so specifically. Like you, Greg, I think it's absolutely terrible that the classified information like this does not belong being blurted out on a debate stage with the whole world watching. Information like that belongs on a private server, in a basement, in a closet, in a bathroom, administered by private sector IT guys who have oh-you-know-what moments, and that hopefully nobody can hack, but they probably were anyway. I love she goes on about how bad the Russian hackers are. You know, if they were, I wouldn't keep all my stuff on a private server then, would I?
No. Oh, she's terrible. Just terrible. Speaking of emails... Let's talk about SaneBox, because I'm guessing you've got quite a few emails. Jim and I certainly do. You got 100, 1,000, 20,000 more? I don't know, but we've got a lot, or at least we did, because when you can't organize them well, you just have too many. But once you've gotten this huge glut of emails, what do you do with them? Because somewhere in there, you might have something that you actually need. And it's pretty hard to hunt for sometimes, but SaneBox has a way of streamlining your email system, regardless of what account you have, what system you have. It works with your Gmail, your Yahoo, your Hotmail, if that still exists. SaneBox just makes it super simple, and they let us in on their secret to reaching inbox zero and taking back your email sanity.
Yes, this product is SaneBox. It lives up to its name. It gives you your sanity back, and Greg and I cannot recommend it enough. SaneBox sorts through your email and moves all the trivial stuff into a different folder, so the only messages in your inbox are the ones you actually want to see. Now, aside from removing all the junk so you can focus on the messages that matter, there's this thing called the black hole. Move an email into that folder, and you will never hear from that sender again. It feels so rewarding. Now, we both use SaneBox, and we've worked out a great deal for our listeners.
Yes, visit SaneBox.com/martini today. They'll throw in an extra $25 credit on top of their 2-week free trial. You don't have to enter your credit card information when you initially sign up for the free trial unless you eventually decide to buy. So there's really nothing to lose except you could lose out on a great deal. Check it out today and let us know if you love the black hole and the other streamlining features that get you towards inbox zero as much as we do. That's SaneBox.com/martini, SaneBox.com/martini. And Jim, as we go to our third martini, the third person on the stage last night, of course, was Chris Wallace, the host of Fox News Sunday. And I think if you look at Lester Holt, you look at Anderson Cooper and Martha Raddatz, you look at Elaine Quijano, and you look at Chris Wallace, Chris Wallace was by far the best on both substance and policing. Some were better than others between the two. I thought the subjects a lot of the time, especially with Raddatz and Cooper, and even to some extent with Lester Holtz, got away from issues that people actually cared about. Quijano couldn't keep Kane and Pence in line, and Wallace did about as good of a job as you can do, and he actually got to some issues nobody had even gotten to before, like a $20 trillion national debt and what to do about entitlements that take up 60% of our budget.
Yeah, I was going to say, that first question, they'd had a question on the courts, I believe, in the second debate.
Yes.
And so at first I was like, we're going back to this. But then we got the first question on guns and the Second Amendment. We got the first question on abortion, which is, comes up almost at least once a year. Well, the first question, as you mentioned, on the debt, and surprising to me, the first presidential debate question on immigration, which is, Trump's signature issue and one of the biggest issues in this election, you'd think. So credit for that on that. The other thing also, as you said, a much better disciplinarian. It's ironic, if you watch the lead into the debates, every single time, every moderator comes out and says, please hold all applause to the end, please do not clap, please do not interrupt, please do not jeer, please, no noises from the audience. And the last three, Greg, they all got ignored. The crowd just didn't care. Whatever you see, and they did it. And some people said, Hillary got more cheers than Trump did. Look. It is it's kind of a prisoner's dilemma type situation where if you obey the rules and you don't applaud for your guy, then the perception is that you lose the debate because the perception is the other candidate's doing better because the other side is breaking the rules. So you feel obligated to break the rules yourself, lest the other side get an advantage. I really liked Wallace's tone. At the very least, he tried to enforce it consistently. I believe the first one was very much, Professor Wallace is disappointing in you. Quiet down. Come on. And by that last half hour, Greg, Chris Wallace will turn this car around right now if you kids don't settle down. And, I salute him for that. I also think there's an interesting theory because most of the media, dismisses Fox News as being, they're crazy right wingers and biased. I think there's a very clear distinction between the news division, the Chris Wallaces and Brett Baiers of the world. Compared to the O'Reillys and the Sean Hannitys of the world, but I think a lot of the rest of the world, particularly those on the left, don't want to make that distinction. I have this feeling that Chris Wallace and Bear and most of these guys, one, they understand both sides, right? They understand conservatives and they understand liberals. So the question from a left of center mainstream media moderator to a Republican is usually some version of, come on, you don't really believe that, do you? whereas a Fox News anchor who, interviewing both sides, talking to both sides, perhaps sharing the perspective of a Republican, perhaps not. But the questions are better. And the other thing is that I don't feel like I feel like because Fox has a perception of being right of center, Fox News knows they can ask a really tough question of a Republican candidate. Remember how this whole process began with a Fox News debate for all the Republican primary candidates. And they asked tough questions of every last one of them. You know why? Because Fox News knows it's never going to get accused of being part of the liberal media. Well, at least until recently, I suppose. But they basically kind of like, we're going to go out, we're going to ask tough questions of everybody. We're going to impress the lefties when we ask tough questions of Republicans. And when the few times we can get Democrats to appear on our network, and oh, by the way, Democrats refuse to hold a presidential primary debate on Fox News. But when they do get a chance to ask Hillary Clinton questions or Bernie Sanders questions, they ask tough questions, and everybody expects that because they're Fox News. So anyway, bravo, Chris Wallace, a really fantastic job. I think his dad is looking down on him and smiling. The only thing I wanted to see was at some point if Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump had said, Chris, he could have emulated Christopher Plummer in The Insider and say, try Mr. Wallace.
Oh, very good. I'm guessing neither one of them's actually seen that, though.
You're the insider. You're the. Well, the worst moment of last night's debate was you're a puppet. No, you're a puppet.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And remember to go to sanebox.com/martini to get that extra $25 credit on top of the 2-week free trial. But you can only do it through that site, sanebox.com/martini. Please join us on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.